All right, so we're holding the last
words of Hoffman and Bayes. Last line by the two dots. Okay, we learned in the Mishnah, Chamozuk Shnei Chalokim Chola. We said that one of the shades of red that is considered tame by woman is Chamozuk. We said, like, you take wine from the Sharon, which is a region of Eretz Yisrael, the coastal plain of Eretz Yisrael, more or less from Tveria until Kesar until Tveria. You have you take wine that grew there, that was made there, whatever, some grapes that grow there. You mix it two parts water to one part wine, and that's the shade that we're talking about. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Hasharoni Nidin Kekarmeli Chai. Wine from Sharon that is mixed with water, like we said in the Mishnah, can also be the equivalent of wine from Carmel, which is not mixed. Chai v'loy mozug, and not mixed. Chodosh v'loy yoshan, and only if it's new wine, not if it's old wine. Meaning, in other words, the Braita says, like this in the Mishnah, we thought we have to specifically get wine from Sharon and dilute it with water and then see what it's like. So the Braita is telling us, according to that no, you can equally well use wine from Carmel, from the Carmel area of Israel, the area of Haifa, more or less. But then it would not. Then you don't mix it with water. You keep it in its natural state, and it has to be gapped new because when it's old, then it changes color a little bit.
So how rich the other place was?
I guess that's true. Yeah. Rashi brings another girsa, which is kasharoni nidon hakarmeli. That like the wine of Sharon, the caramel wine is the same thing. And according to that understanding of it, Mefarshim explains that chai v'loy mozug would actually refer to both of them. That you have to start out. You have to start out with undiluted wine, but then you dilute it with the two parts water, like we said in the Mishnah. And in both cases, whether you're using Sharon wine or caramel wine, either way, it has to be new wine rather than old wine. According to that second girsa, it means they're both things. Okay.
The first girsa was saying
that you use diluted Sharon wine or undiluted caramel wine. Okay.
But also new wine or old
wine? According to that, the chai might only refer to the caramel wine. According to the second girsa, it would refer to both of them. Okay.
As new wine.
Yeah. All of them, you can only check them in a plain cup in a plain glass cup of the kind that are made in Tveria. Plain meaning, in other words, a thin glass. So my timer, why dafka that kind of glass? Maybe the Chachamim wanted to keep the glass business in Tveria in business. No.
Well, you have a good point,
because the Gemara mentions in some places that what's called Zugisa Chivarta, white meaning clear glass, either ceased to exist or at least became very, very rare after the Churban. So the Pashtus the Gemara is talking about over here, it would be some kind of colored glass, because they didn't necessarily have the technology to make clear, or the ability to make completely clear glass like we have now for windows or whatever. However, still, as the Gemara is going to point out, the glass of a Kos Tveria is lighter, it's thinner than other kinds of glass, and therefore it's less likely to affect the color of the wine inside it. You don't want the color of the wine is going to be affected.
Is that transparent glass?
Of course, they had transparent glass, but not fully transparent. It would be more stained glass. It would have a color to it. Meaning see-through. Yeah, they have see-through glass, but it wasn't necessarily clear glass. That was a rare thing. Okay. So anyway, my time. Why dafka a cup from Tveria? I'm going to buy it. Shokola olam koloi. The way it works, whenever anywhere else in the world where they make glass cups, mastic lug, if the cup is going to be the size that's going to hold a lug, oisin oisin mona, then they use a mona's weight of glass to make it. Shnei lugin, oisin oisin masayim. And if it's going to hold two lugin, then they make it out of 200 zuz weight of glass. In other words, the more the cup is going to hold, the thicker they have to make the glass, because otherwise it'll break. Coast Tveria Poshut, on the other hand, with these thin cups from Tveria, Afilomachtik, Shnei Lugin, even a cup that's going to be large enough to hold two Lugin, Oisin, Oisin, and Mana, they have the ability to make it thin and make it out of only a Mana's weight of glass. So in other words, it's thinner. But Idi to Kolish, so since the glass is thinner, your Dia Beitfe, you can see the actual color of the wine more clearly than you would with thicker glass, because thicker glass absorbs some of the light.
We see from the top, you can see.
Well, the Rambam actually understands our Gemara to be saying, first of all, on the face of it, the Gemara is just giving an example, a couple log versus two log or whatever. The Rambam actually understands that the figures that the Gemara is giving over here are precise. You have to use a cup of Tveria that holds two logim and that is made out of one mana of glass. And Rambam also adds, you don't look through the glass, you look at the top of it. But even so, you don't want that the color of the glass or the thickness of the glass or whatever is going to affect the color of the wine. So you still want to look at the wine itself. The Rambam also apparently learns that this statement over here is not just talking about checking the wine, but all the other things we mentioned in the Mishnah, whether you're dealing with, whether you're comparing the blood stain that the Rav is looking at, whether he's comparing it to blood from a wound, or whether he's comparing it to black ink or to any of the other substances you mentioned in the Mishnah. Either way, you have to put them in that kind of glass, which is thin and wide, and because it's wide, also that's the point that I'm going to make. Because the glass is wide, therefore you see the actual color of the material rather than the color of the glass that reflects on it. Okay. Hadron alach kol hayad. Okay, so now this next parak, we're up to the third parak.
Can we use these locations to...
No. Again, nowadays, we don't have the expertise to be able to tell those fine shades. We saw already in the Gemara yesterday that a number of them...
Location.
The location, fine. You want to take wine from Sharon and look, but you can't use that to say only this color or similar colors or whatever is going to be Tomei as Damnida and other ones that are somewhat different than that or not, because we don't have the expertise to be able to tell. Plus,
you'd be able to tell from the areas.
Then. Maybe not, but not necessarily. Also, is wine from Sharon now exactly the same as it was then? They may have different strains of grapes. The soil may be a little different. Whatever. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So now this next parak Gimel, we're up to now. Oh, your brother, your son's calling in. Oh, yeah. Nice. If you want, you can just call me in. Okay. So now this next parak, we're going to start talking about, so like this in the first two parakim, we've been focusing so far on a woman who becomes, more general issues with a woman who becomes nigger. How long before does she become tamei? What color is the blood, etc., all that sort of thing that we've been discussing in these last two parakim, and about the bedikas and everything. Now we're going to start focusing on the dinim about a woman who gives birth. So the basic dinim are in the Torah. We learned them briefly before. A woman gives birth to a boy, then she's tamei for 7 days afterwards. And that's true whether there was blood accompanying the birth or not. And then for the next 33 days, she's dam toyar. Any blood that comes out of her during those 33 days is tahor, and she's mutter to her husband. She's just not allowed to eat truma and kodshim until she goes to the mikveh and brings her korbanos.
After 3 days?
So you have 7 days and then the next 33 days.
33
days when she's mutter to her husband. So she gave birth, let's say, on Aleph Tishrei, Rosh, first day Rosh Hashanah, Aleph to Zion, she's Tomei, from Ches until whatever it is, Yud Cheshvan or whatever, will be the 33 days of Tara. For a girl, those amounts of time are doubled, 14 days of Tumah, 66 days of Tara. So now we're going to start talking about So we'll talk about towards the end of the parak, we'll talk about possible reasons why it's different for boys and girls. But right now, let's deal with the basic facts.
More for girls than for boys.
We'll talk about that. Anyway, so now we have to discuss these dinim. We have to, and as usual, the Mishnah is not going to start off with the basic dinim. It's going to start off with the oddball cases, and then eventually we'll get to the more standard cases. So the Mishnah starts off. Now, one thing we do have to realize here is these dinim apply whether the baby is viable or not, whether it was an actual live baby, whether it was a stillbirth, whether it was even a miscarriage or whatever. But as we're going to see in the Mishnah, and as we go through the parak, we're going to see it does have to have a certain shape in order to be considered a baby, which is what, well, not so much old enough, but it has to have a certain shape, basically. Otherwise, if it's just a chunk of flesh or whatever, then it has different genes. One other thing we have to realize also, which we're going to have at the end of our Mishnah, sometimes you can have a suffix whether the baby was a boy or a girl. And in that case, what you do is her days of Tumah and Tara then are kind of a hybrid of the two cases. She's going to have 14 days of Tumah in case it was a girl. But then after that, she only has 26 days of Yimei Tara up to the end of 40 days in case it was a boy. And as far, because like this, if it was a boy, she would have had 7 plus 33, right? So like this, you have to consider an extra 7 days that she's Tumah to be on the safe side. And then the remaining days, all you have left at that point is 26 days. And as far as her korbanos, she can only bring them at the end of the 80 days in case it was a girl. So the Mishnah starts off. As far as those cases of how we count in cases like that we're going to have much more about in the next parak. Our parak is mostly going to focus on the dinim having to do with the actual birth itself. What's a birth and what is it? That sort of thing.
It's 14 and...
It's 14 and then 26, yeah.
And 26.
Right.
Why not 66?
Because why should it be? You don't know if it was a girl.
So that's the point.
So you don't. It may have been a boy, and if it was a boy, you only have till the end of 40 days. After 40 days, any blood that comes from her, she's tummy again, as Nidir is up. If it was, but you don't know whether it was, therefore you have
a point.
So any time from 41 until 80 days, if she bleeds, you have a suffix. Is it Dam Toya or is she a Nidia? You have a suffix. That's what it is. On a suffix, a dirt eye, so you have to be Machmir. No, come on.
So you should be Machmir until 66?
No, that's 66.
After 40 days. Okay. Listen. After 40 days. You're not understanding. Once 40 days. Okay, listen. After 40 days have passed from the birth, if it was a boy, then that's it. Well, you may tell her over. Now she goes back to being a regular Nidia or Zava, as the case may be. Well, you don't know if it was a boy.
If it was a girl.
So then she's in Yemetaya, but you don't know that for sure.
Exactly.
So
you have to be Machmir.
That's what we're saying. Therefore, she only has 26 days of Yemetaya. 14 of Tumah, 26 of Tara equals 40. After that, if she bleeds, it's a suffix whether she's in Yemetaya or whether she's a Nidia.
So
it's a suffix.
Or
Machmir. Yeah, and that's exactly what we're saying. No, that's what we're saying. Therefore, she doesn't have to be Tara anymore. They can't have relations. That's exactly the
point.
That is very much
duration.
The point. The duration is to the
for
end.
For a boy, she would have.
No, for a boy, she would have.
Yeah,
for a girl, she would have 66. But we don't know if it was a girl. So therefore, she has 14 days.
How do you explain that we don't use 66 then?
Why shouldn't we use 66? The only thing we use 66 for is she has to wait till the end of the 66 days to bring her carbon. She can't bring it within 80. That's what I just said. That is just what I finished saying. So pay attention, please. 14 days of trauma in case it was a girl. She only has until the end of 40 days after the birth for Yemei Tahara, in case it was a boy, which therefore yields only 26 days out of the potential 33 or 66 that she could have had. And as far as her carbon, she has to wait till the end of the 80 days. That's what it is. That's what it is. So we're machmer in each case, depending which one results in a
rinpoche. So for the carbon, it's the same.
So for the carbon, it's 80 days.
And
for the Yemei Tuma, it's 14. For the Yemei Tuma, it's 14, which is a larger amount for a girl.
Right.
And for the Yemei Tara, it's a smaller amount as it would be for a boy.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, that's what I was saying. Okay, so the Mishnah starts off. Hamapelas chaticha.
I didn't understand it.
Okay. Hamapelas chaticha. So if a woman miscarries a piece of flesh, so it depends. Im yesh im adam, if there's blood along with it, tmeya, then she's tome because she's a nidda. Or if it was during the 11 days, then a zava, fine, whatever. Rashi's mentioning a nidda because that's a more common case. The imlav tahora, and if not, then she's tahor. Why? What about, shouldn't she be tome because of the birth? So Rashi explains that we don't consider it a birth because it's only a chunk of flesh and it doesn't even have a bone in it, so it can't be considered a baby in any way. So therefore, so she's not tome because of the birth. If there's no blood with it, then there's nothing to be tome her.
Not in this case, you come time, right?
Yeah, but that's if it has bones in it, that's if it's somewhat formed already. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ben Kach or Ben Kach Tmeya. Rabbi Yehuda says either way she's Tomei, and we'll explain in the Gemara why that would be.
Whether
there was blood with it or not. So we'll see in the Gemara. We're gonna end up in the Gemara with five different opinions of Panoyim on this subject. So wait. Okay. Continues the Mishnah. Hamapelas commit klipa. If the woman miscarries something that looks like a peel, like a thin piece, like, or kamin saira, or a piece like a hair. There's another girth actually, kamin sa'ira, which is like a bar, like a grain of barley. Kamin offer, or stuff that looks like dust, like tiny little pieces that crumble, basically. Kamin yavchushin adrumim, or yavchushin are, Yashi translates yatushin, which means mosquitoes, or some other little kind of flying insect like that. So like little pieces that look like little tiny red insects. And the red, actually, the adrumim refers to all of them. So we mean, for example, the klipa was red, the cider was red, etc. So we don't know, is it blood or is it congealed blood or not? What we do is tatil lamayim. She should take that thing and put it in water. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what temperature of the water has to be, etc. We'll get there. Imni moiku, if it dissolves in the water, tmeya, then she's tome, because it shows that it was blood that congealed. Vim lav tahora, and if not, then she's tahor. Because if it doesn't dissolve in the water, then it shows that it's a chunk of flesh or something. You actually have an interesting machlokas rishonim on the question, what if it's a large chunk? So here we're talking about the Mishnah is describing very thin things over here, a peel or a hair or whatever. What if it's a large chunk that even if it was blood, it would be too large to dissolve in water? Does that mean, is the Mishnah telling us as long as it doesn't dissolve, then it's tahor, and therefore we don't even care if it's a large chunk of blood? Or do we say that, no, if it's obviously blood, then it's going to be tahor either way?
A big chunk of blood?
Well, it could. It could be a big chunk of congealed blood. But basically, a related part of the machlokas, a related thing to the machlokas actually is, if it comes out of her to begin with dry, and congealed, is it metame hurunat, or is it only metame if it came out as liquid and then congealed? So anyway, you have a machlokas we're showing him about it. So you have a machlokas we're showing him. Okay, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings both opinions. It brings first the opinion that's machmer, then it brings the opinion, the yesh, as yesh oimrim, that are makel. Okay, so in practice, we're machmer. Okay.
Continue. Whether it's a clot or not, it
right.
doesn't matter.
Right, as long as it's right. So if it's obviously blood, then it doesn't matter if it dissolves in water, but if it's not obviously blood, then that's what the Mishnah is telling us. We try these things. Okay. Continues the Mishnah.
If it's a clot of blood, it doesn't dissolve in water.
That's what I just said. That's the machlokas we're showing him. Can we try to pay attention, please?
I'm paying attention.
Okay.
But
then that's what I just said. That's exactly what I just finished saying. It's a large clot that is obviously blood, but it doesn't dissolve in water. Do we say it's metameh or not? Some are showing him say yes, some say no. If the woman miscarries something that looks like a fish or like a locust, so in other words, we're talking about a misshapen baby. You're going to have, you know, the Rambam points out, don't think these things are impossible, you know, medical literature, you can find all kinds of oddities that happen, the Rambam says, yeah. Okay. So if she miscarries something that resembles a fish or a locust, shkosim or amosim, or various kinds of creepy, crawly creatures, im yeshimoim dam, if there's blood accompanying them tmeah, v'im lav tahora, and if not, then she's tahor. So here the Mishnah is not mentioning anything about putting them in water, and you also add machlokas. Does that mean that in this case, the Mishnah maybe is relying on what it said before, you should put them in water, and if they don't dissolve, then you have reason, and if they dissolve, then you say she's tameh, or you have some to show him. I think the Rashba and others that say there's a difference. Blood can form into the other kinds of things, like we said, like the shape of a peel or the shape of a hair or whatever, but it's very unlikely for blood to form into the shape of a fish or what have you, and therefore even if it dissolves, we don't care about it. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Hamapelos min behema chayavoiv. What if now she miscarries a misshapen baby that looks like a domestic animal or a wild animal or a bird? Bein tmei and bein tahorin. There, and for that purpose, we don't care whether it looks like a kosher or not, like a kosher or non-kosher animal. Either way, that is considered an actual baby. Therefore, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain, therefore, im zachar teisha b'zachar. Therefore, if this baby was a male, if it has a male organ, teisha b'zachar, then she has the rules of tumah b'tara, the number of days of tumah and tara for a boy, 7 days of tumah, 33 days of tara. Im nekeva teisha v'nekeva. If this misshapen baby had female parts, then you consider it a female for this purpose, which is 14 days of tumah and 66 of tara. Then en yadua, if we don't know which one it is, that's when we have teisha b'zachar b'lanakeva, divrei Rav Meir, that's when Rav Meir is saying that, Rav Meir is actually saying this whole thing about the zachar and the nakeva also, that in all three cases, whether you do zachar, whether you do nakeva, whether you do both, all Rav Meir is saying that that's the case in these cases, even though it looks like an animal. Nevertheless, So if you don't know, then again, that's when you have the suffix in Zohar and Nekeva. And again, that's what we do, that you have, she has 14 days of tumah, and she only has Yemei Tara until the end of 40 days. She ends up only having 26 days of Tara.
Even
if
she's not a baby,
she's still doing it. That's your mayor. The Chachamim say, no, Kol She'en Adam, if it doesn't have the form of a human being, Ein Vlad, then it's not considered a baby for that purpose. But we'll see why it is. Now, on the face of it, we're saying over here, Rav Meir is agreeing that if it looks like a fish or a locust or whatever, then it's not considered a baby. Why should he say that if it looks like an animal, it is considered a baby more? So that's the Gemara. We'll discuss that point and what Rav Meir holds and what the Chacham holds.
No, that's over here. Let's blow it up.
No, because the birth itself, that's the thing. According to Rav Meir, this thing that came out looking like an animal or what have you is considered a birth. Therefore, it makes a tamei with a birth even if there was no blood. Whereas according to the Chachamim, we would say that no, it doesn't look like a person, so it's not considered a baby, and no, so then you wouldn't have Yemei Tumah or Yemei Tara unless there was blood accompanying it. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Loi timi Rabbi Yehuda ela b'chaticha shal avar mine dam. This that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if she miscarried a chunk of flesh, and Rabbi Yehuda says even if there's no blood with it, she's still tamei, that's only talking about if it's one of the four colors, or five colors, whatever, that we mentioned in the previous paragraph. Essentially, he said there are four, and black is really kind of an outgrowth of one of the other colors. The blood deteriorates and becomes black. But only if it's one of those colors, so then we have reason to assume that it's actually a chunk of blood. Therefore, she's tamei. But if it's of any other color, then tahora. Then Shmuel is saying that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah would agree that she's tahora, because then it's definitely not blood. and it's definitely not blood, and what do you call it? And you can't consider it a birth because it's only a chunk, and it doesn't even have bones in it or anything. Okay, so that's Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Shalabas mina domim divrei hakol tmei. If it's one of the four colors that we said in the previous paragraph, then everybody would agree it's tamei, even the chachamim. Shalsham mina domim divrei hakol tahora. If it's of any other color, then everybody would agree it's tahor, because obviously not blood, or at least it's not blood that would make her tamei. Lo nechlaku the machloikus in the Mishnah says Rabbi Yochanan would be elashi hipila the eni yadas mahipila. She miscarried something, and she's not sure what it was. She's not sure what color it was. So now the machlokas is Rabbi Yehuda sabra zilbos the rose chatichas. Rabbi Yehuda says you go according to the majority of pieces. Most of the time, when a woman miscarries such a piece, such a chunk like that, the rose chatichas shom mina abas mina damim havin. Most such pieces are one of the four colors. It came from her womb, after all. Things that come from her womb typically have one of those four colors. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says we have to assume Roy would tell us that she's coming. But Rabbanan Sabri. So it would be, he said one of the four colors of red, one of the four shades of red that we were talking about in the previous paragraph. Rabbanan Sabri loyam minin roi chatichas shel abas minin dam. Whereas the Chum would hold that no, we don't say that most chatichas are of these four. So therefore we don't have so Rashi explains over here, and also we had this in the previous paragraph also when we were talking, we had a whole sugi over there about Rabbi Yochanan and what Rabbi Yochanan holds about Roy and Vada and everything. We mentioned this point, and we said that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned this statement of Rabbi Yehuda. So what exactly was he excluding about it? So Rashi explains over here that what it is Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's basically Rashi holds machlokas in the tzitzis. Rabbi Yehuda holds that most such chatichas are one of these four colors. The Rabbanan disagree on the facts. Most of them are not of these four colors. Therefore, you don't have a chazaka of roiv, and therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us over there that you don't have a roiv that you can consider a vada. Other Rishonim explain that's not an actual machlokas on the fact. They both can agree that typically chatichas do are of the abas minei damim, are one of these four colors. But the question is that enough of a roiv to be considered? That enough of a roiv for us to treat as a vada? Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and the chachamim say no. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? So far what do we have? We have Shmuel's explanation of the Mishnah that if it's one of the four colors, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's Tamei and the Chacham, that she's Tamei, and the Chum would say she's Tahor. If there's no, assuming there was no blood accompanying the miscarriage. And then we have Rabbi Yochanan saying that if it's one of the four colors, then everybody agrees it's Tamei, that she's Tamei, and the Machlokas is only if we don't know what color it was because it got lost. But now the question is, Eini, is that so? I have a question actually on both of them. V'haki asked Rav Hoshia min Nahouda, when Rav Hoshia came from Nahouda, also v'aiti masnisa b'yadei. About this roiv chatichas, the loy amin and roiv chatichas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Actually, rather, what it is Tosfos says, what it is even Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos understands the Gemara before about Rabbi Yochanan to be saying that Rabbi Yochanan is saying even Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying she's tamei, is only saying she's tamei misafik. So there, it's not enough of a roiv to be able to say that for sure we should burn Truma and Kodesh for it. Which actually, in this connection over here, when we say that when we talk about Tmeya and Tahora, when we say that the Chachamim would say over here Tahora, not necessarily does that mean that she's Tahor Vadai. Some of the Rishonim understand that it means it's a suffix. Rabbi Yehuda would say that she's Vadai Tamei, and then Rabbi Chachamim would say it's only suffix. Okay. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? These explanations of Shmuel's and of Yechanan's of the Mishnah, v'haki also Rav Hoshia min Nahouda, when Rav Hoshia came from Nahouda, also he came from there, v'aisi masnisi b'yodei, and he brought along with him a braisa that the Chacham didn't know before, which goes like this, amakelas chaticha, if a woman miscarries a chunk, red aduma, whether it's red, shchora, or black, yuruka, or yellow, or lavana, or white, Im yeshi madam, if there is blood with it, tmeya, then she's tamei. Im lav tahora, and if not, then she's tahor. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a ben kach or ben kach tmeya, and Rabbi Yehuda says either way she's tamei. Now let's consider kashil shmuel b'chada ul Rabbi Yochanan b'tauti. Now this braisa is there's one part of it that would be difficult to understand according to Shmuel, and there's two parts that would be difficult to understand according to Rabbi Yochanan. How so? L'shmuel b'chada. According to Shmuel, it seems to be contradicting Shmuel in one way. The Amar Shmuel, Loi Timur Rabbi Yehuda, Ela B'chaticha Shal Abach Min Edamim. Shmuel had said that Rabbi Yehuda would say it's only Tameh if it's one of the four colors of red. V'ha Katoni Yeruka Olavana. Now this Braisa is mentioning if it's yellow or if it's white, which are not among the four colors, right? Upolig Rabbi Yehuda, and yet Rabbi Yehuda is arguing and saying it's male. So that contradicts Shmuel's understanding of their machlokes. Well, you know, so the question is, Shmuel can't contradict the Braisa. So if the Braisa is telling us that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing regardless of the color of the Chaticha, then that contradicts Shmuel's understanding. Exactly what we said. We said, in other words, whether it's black or red, which are colors that are Tameh, or whether it's yellow or white, which are colors that are that in and of themselves, as blood, would be Tahar. Yeah. V'chitema, so you might say, you might try to salvage it according to Shmuel by saying ki polig Rabbi Yehuda a aduma ushchora. Maybe indeed Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing if it's black or if it's red or black. Va'ayiruka olavan aloi. Maybe indeed Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing if it's yellow or white.
Meaning what?
Meaning exactly that. Maybe Shmuel would understand the Braisa. The Braisa is mentioning four colors, but Rabbi Yehuda would say Tmeya only with two of them. So the Chachamim
wouldn't say
the other two. He agrees with Tahar, right? The problem with that is Ela Yeruka Olavan Laman Katani La. Then in that case, why are we bothering to mention white and to mention yellow or white at all? Which Tana would it be necessary according to? Elaim Rabbanon, are you going to say it would be according to the Rabbanon? We don't need to. Hashta Aduma or Shchoda Matari. If they say even if the chunk is red or black, which are colors that if it's blood would make her tummy. Matari Rabbanan, and still the Rabbanan say it's that she's Tahar, Yeruka Olavanim Iboya, would you need to say that it's true if it's yellow or white? Ela Lav L'Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, we need to say those colors according to Rabbi Yehuda, Upolig, and we see, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing about those. So far the Braisa, there's one contradiction in against Shmuel. And then let's go further. Rabbi Yochanan. Now let's look at Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. The Omar, where he understood the machlokas shalabas min adamim divahakol tmeya. He said that if it's one of the four colors and everybody agrees, it's tamei. What do you mean? Hakatani aduma ushchora upligi rabbanon. Among the colors the Braisa mentioned are red and black, which are among the four colors, and we see that the Chachamim say tahar. V'chitema, so you might answer ki pligi rabbanon ayiruko olavana. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan would understand that the Chachamim would only argue on the yellow or white, aval aduma or shchora loy, but they wouldn't argue on the black or the red. Well then, aduma or shchora laman katani lo. Then you have the same problem, the opposite problem of Shmuel. Then why do we need black and red in the Braisa? If they're not arguing on it? Ilay mir Rabbi Yehuda, would you say it's needed to tell us Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Of course not. Hashti Yeruka Olavana Tmeya, if he says that even yellow or white is enough to make Otame, Aduma or Shchora Meboya, would you need to say that it's true if it's red or black, which themselves are colors of Tomei blood? Ela Lav Rabbanon, so obviously, therefore, if Yorick and Lavan are Tomei according to him, how much more so black or red, yeah. So Ela Lav Rabbanon. So obviously, therefore, the Braisa must it has to be according to the Rabbanon or Pligi, and we see that they argue. So we had one problem on Shmuel. We have two problems on Rabbi Yechanan. Number one, we have the problem that why are we mentioning yellow and white? And then we also have the question: if he says that red and black are Tomei according to both of them, then why mention red and black? Okay. So El Omer of Nachman Yitzchak. So no, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, never mind Shmuel's and Rabbi Yochanan's explanations of the machlokas has nothing to do with the color of the piece. It has rather to do the efshar l'psich sakever b'ledam kamitzvi. The machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is like this: when the rechem opens, kever is the term that the Chachamim use sometimes for the rechem. Yeah. Kever literally means a grave, but they use it. Yeah,
it gives birth and it's called a grave.
Well, so actually, I guess there might be a couple of reasons for it. First of all, you have, for example, you have a pasuk in Eov, you know, where after he lost all his possessions and his children and everything, he says, you know, I came out of my mother's womb without anything. I'm going to go back without anything. So therefore, you know, I don't care that I lost my possessions. Hashem knows what he's doing. Yehishem Hashem Avodah. So maybe on that basis, no, he doesn't call it kever in the pasuk. But the point is that he's saying, I came from my mother's womb and I'm going to return there. Now he doesn't mean he's going to return to his mother's womb. He means he's going to return to the earth. So therefore, like in a metaphorical sense, the kever can be like you come from a kever and you're gonna eventually go to a kever, maybe.
Obviously, fine.
But I mean, there's also, for example, the baby is imprisoned inside the womb and is growing there as if it's in the grave. And also, you know, I mean, have you ever heard? There's a famous song. I think it might be one of Moshe Yes's songs. I'm not sure. Where you have a dialogue, metaphorically, between two babies, two twins in the womb. They're arguing, is there a life after this one? Like one of them is saying, of course, there's a whole world out there, and the other one is saying, what are you talking about? All there is what we have in here. And then one of them is born, and the other one is still inside there. He's crying. He thinks, oh, my brother must have died. He doesn't realize, and it's a metaphor for, like, we think this world is all there is, and we don't realize that there's a whole other half after this world. Anyway, whatever it is, for all those kinds of reasons, the kever can be used as a metaphorical term for rechem. So machlokes is over here. The question is, when the womb opens, is it possible for that to happen without blood coming out? So if you say it can, then okay, you didn't see any blood, all you saw was this chunk, therefore no problem, she's not tummy. On the other hand, if you say, that would be Rabbi Yehuda's point, he would be saying, fine, there was no blood, but there's no way that the kever, that the rechem could have opened up without blood coming out, therefore she's automatically tummy because of that. You didn't find the blood, okay, it was a little bit of blood and you didn't notice it. Okay. Now, actually, that kind of thing, you have a machlokas Rishon. Now, first of all, who is the halacha like? I mean, we're going to have several opinions on this. The Rambam passed like a chachamim, that Efshel was psichos hakever b'leidam. Most of the other Rishonim disagree and passed like Rabbi Yehuda, Efshel was psichos hakever b'leidam. Then on top of that, you have a further machlokas Rishonim. Does that apply only if it's open from the inside, like when she's giving birth or miscarrying or whatever, or does it apply also if it's open from the outside? For example, if a doctor is doing an exam and then sticks in something. So what's the difference? There's one way of looking at it is maybe Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, would only be if it was being opened from the inside, by something from the inside pushing out. Then that would cause that blood would come out, not necessarily if it's caused by dilating using a medical instrument or whatever. The other way of looking at it is maybe either way. Lamaisa lahalok.
If you put your hand in your uterus, you can cause blood. If you're pregnant or not.
Well, right, but would that necessarily be the kind of bleeding that would make her tummy nida? So you have a machlokas you're showing him on that subject. Yes, but now we've been qualifying that. We already said, for example, that if there was a wound in there, then not necessarily. We talked about dam chimud that the machlokas about. So now it's right. So anyway, so there is a machlokas on that topic. In practice, we do say that we have to be machmir when, even if it was open using an instrument, because after all, it is an issue daraisa. With that said, though, most gynecological exams don't necessarily involve going all the way to the uterus. A pap smear, for example, or other such things don't involve going that deep. All they involve, the kever is the uterus. At most, you're talking about like opening the cervix, but most gynecological. Sometimes, but it's not common. Most gynecological exams don't necessarily require opening the cervix, let alone going all the way into the womb. So therefore, there's no issue with them. If there is an exam that involves, that's true. But if it causes blood from outside the womb, then it's neither here nor there.
If it's the cervix, it's there.
Okay, but if that's the thing. In other words, if it bleeds because it was scratched by the instrument or whatever, that doesn't make her nid.
It does not.
No, same way as we said before about a wound. Anyway, what you do have is, if there's a gynecological exam that involves opening the cervix or the womb or whatever, or sticking something all the way into the womb, then you do have an issue if it's a certain width. So if it's a certain width. Now, the Gemara is going to mention later something about a shreseris, a tube. We're not clear on what the size of that tube is. Because it would matter. A larger one versus a smaller one. Obviously, a tiny bit of psicha, a tiny bit of opening, is not going to make it. Not going to make a difference. No, only if it was scratched or something. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that the muscular opening of the cervix itself. Epshel of psicha kever b'leidam would just mean those muscles opening is going to cause blood to come out. Is Rabbi Yehuda's position, which, again, most of the Rishonim accept lahalacha. So therefore, what it comes out is like this. Again, most gynecological exams, there's no issue because they don't penetrate that deeply anyway. If they do, then if it's opened more than a certain amount, then the woman is considered nidah because we're machmer on that. How much is that amount? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in one of his trovas that about 3/4 of an inch. If it's any less than that,
if it's scratching,
then it's not metanimer.
So how do you know?
What do you mean? How do you know? The doctor will be able to tell. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So the machloekas again is like this: when her womb opened, when her cervix opened to get this chunk out, did she become tamei? If there was no blood with it, the chachamim are saying that it could be there was no blood with it. Therefore, there's no issue. The chunk is not blood. There was no blood with it. It's not a baby. Therefore, there's nothing to be tamei her. Rabbi Yehuda would hold inevitably if it would open more than a certain amount. So again, so in the Mishnah, when we talk about, for example, we had, let's say it was a piece like a peel or a hair or whatever. Those are tiny little things. Those it doesn't have to open enough. So that you should be a problem with Psychic Akever. That's why the Mishnah didn't say that she's Tomei automatically. All we have to do is check whether they're congealed blood or not. But if you have a chunk which is big enough, bigger than this Sheferes or whatever, then you have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, an issue of Psychic Akever. And that's
how big is this?
Again, according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, we're talking more than 3/4 of an inch. Okay.
In width?
In diameter, we're talking about. Yeah, in width, yes. Okay. So therefore, so this machlot, according to that way of understanding it, then the machlot of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is related to the following machlot of Tanoi. The Tanoi, we learn in a brisa. Kishta shnayim. Suppose that a woman has 2 days of bleeding with labor pains. We're going to talk more about dam koshi more. If it's kishta is lashon koshi, like she's having difficulty. She's having contractions, labor pains or whatever, and she bleeds. Now, we've learned briefly before, and we're going to learn in more detail in the fourth parak, that dam koshi is not metameher, but only if it's somuch laleda, only if it's shortly before the birth, and there's no interruption. We talked briefly in the first parak in an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that as long as there wasn't 24 hours in between, and we're going to talk about different opinions about it in the fourth parak, whatever. The point is, if the koshi, if it's called koshi somuch laleda, if this labor pains and bleeding, it continues more or less straight until the birth, then she's not tamei from it. Then she's tamei eventually from the birth, but she's not tamei beforehand from this dam koshi. But if there was a break, for a while, and then it started again, then that bleeding itself makes her a nidor or a zava, as the case may be. So in this case, depending on whether her cycle was during the 7 days or during the 11 days.
Right.
So kish the shnayim. So in this case, the woman had dam koshi for 2 days. So Rashi explains, let's say we're talking about during the 11 days, when conceivably she could be a zava if she bleeds. So like this, if that bleeding had nothing to do with the birth, then it would make her now a zava because there were 2 days. It would make her a zava ktana. She'd have to have one clean day afterwards. Or the shlishi hipila.
One day she would make her nothing.
Yeah, then 1 day is that's it. Then she's tar again. Then that's it. She needs 1 day. She's called shit. 1 day or 2 days makes her shomer siyam keneged yom. Makes her a zavak tana. She needs 1 clean day. Then she can tell everyone she's tar again. 3 days she's a zavak dola. She needs 7 clean days. Okay. So in this case, during the 11 days of zava, she had dam koshi for 2 days. Or the shlishi hipila. Then on the 3rd day she miscarried, the Eliya Das Mahipila, she doesn't know what she miscarried. Was it even a baby or was it just like an empty sack or something? And if it was a baby, was it a male or a female? I raise a suffix later, suffix ziva. So now we have a suffix whether she gave birth or whether she's a zava. Because after all, if it was a birth, then the 2 days previously bleeding didn't make her a zava. Now she's a Yoledis, fine, she has the din of a Yoledis, 7 and 14 and 33 or 66, as the case may be. If she's a Zaba, then she needs 1 clean day. And another difference...
Why do we go by the length of blood?
What do you mean? Because that's...
Rather than going by the fact that blood and something else cannot be used.
Okay, the point is, because if koshi somuch laleda, like this you had, the 2 days of bleeding were immediately before the birth, on the 3rd day is when she had the birth, the miscarriage or whatever.
Okay.
So therefore, that's called, if we had an actual birth, if on the 3rd day we know that she actually gave birth to a baby, then we would call those 2 days, we would say we ignore those 2 days as far as Tumah and Tara. Those 2 days do not make her Tomei as a Zava. All it is on the 3rd day she becomes a Yoledis. But here we have a Suffet. Here it's a Suffet, whether what she gave birth to was a baby or not, or whether she just miscarried an empty sack. We're actually going to discussing this dam koshi in the next paragraph, we're actually going to talk about there are opinions that say that there's no koshi for miscarriages anyway, that the whole concept of dam koshi only applies if it was a live birth. Or Gemara is going according to the opinion that it doesn't matter whether it was a live birth or whether it was a stillbirth. Either way, the concept of koshi does apply, but there has to have been a birth. Like this, she doesn't even know whether she gave birth to an actual baby or whether it was an empty sack. So therefore, had raised a suffix later, suffix ziva. So therefore, that result, we have a suffix whether she gave birth versus a suffix whether she was a zava. Because
to consider your issue, the shape, so it was to be shaped.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Well, like this, we don't even know if there was a baby or if it was an empty sack. Yeah. So therefore, mevia korban ve'ena nechal. So therefore, what it comes out is like this. Basically, we have a suffix inside a suffix. Basically, if on that third day she had an actual baby, then again she's not a zavah. She's only a yeledes. And she's Tomei for the Leda. She's Tomei for the Leda. Fine, but eventually she's going to be bringing a korban for the birth after 40 days or 80 days, as the case may be. The other possibility is there wasn't a baby over here, but there was, but there could be that she was a zava, and within that there could be that she was a zava gdola or not. So therefore, so she has to bring a korban because in case she was a yoledes or in case she was a zavag dola, either of those require a korban to make her allowed to enter the mikdash or eat kodshim. The ain nechal, but you can't eat it on the off chance that because again, not necessarily efshel psich v'kever b'leidam. It's very possible that she only had, if we say efshel psich v'kever b'leidam, which is the opinion of the chachamim in our Mishnah, the way we just explained it. Then it means you could have, she only bled on the first 2 days, and then on the third day, there was nothing. On the third day, the kever opened up, and something came out, but it wasn't necessarily a baby. There wasn't necessarily any blood accompanying it. So therefore, she's not a zavag dola. Therefore, she's only a zavag tana. She only had bleeding for 2 days straight, and therefore, no carbon. So because of that, it's effectively a zavag dola. Only a zavag dola brings the carbon, right. So therefore, she brings a korban to make her be allowed to eat kodshim. The ain't a nechal, but you can't eat it for the same reason as usual. You can't eat a chatas oifa, a ba'al asafik, because if it wasn't supposed to be brought to the chatas, then you did malika on it as a nevela.
I'm talking about here that some of you did. It was a question if she was going to give birth or not.
It's a question whether what came out of her is considered a birth or not. Was it an actual baby or was it just an empty sack?
The problem is there's three situations of two categories.
Right.
And that's the issue.
That's the issue over here, exactly. Was it a birth? If it was a birth, then she's not a zava, she is a yelet. If it wasn't a birth, then is she she's a zava of some kind, but is she a zava gdolo or is she a zava kana? That's right.
It's
with 3 days straight. 3 days straight, right. Right. So that's the thing. We don't know whether there was blood along with the birth because she doesn't know what came out. So therefore, if there was blood, then she had blood 3 days in succession. If not, then she only had 2 days.
Something came out.
Right, but it may have been an empty sack, but we don't know it.
Were you considering the mesila as blood?
No, that's the point. According to the Tanakhama over here, we're not. We're saying if it was an empty sack and there was no blood with it, then it's not considered blood. That's the whole point.
No, but if there was blood.
If there was blood, then you have 3 days in it.
If there was no blood.
Then she would be a zavag dola. There's 3 days, there's 3 days of blood straight, right. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says, no, she does have to bring a korban, and it actually can be eaten, because inevitably, one way or the other, she has to bring a korban. Because it's impossible for the womb to open up large enough for this, even if it was an empty sack, to come out. Therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, no matter how you look at it, either she gave birth, and as a yoledes, she has to bring a korban, or even if there was nothing that's considered a baby, nevertheless, the psichas hakever means there was blood with it. Therefore, you had bleeding 3 days straight, and therefore she's a zavag dola, and a zavag dola. It's not a question of chazaka, not chazaka. What? Not chazaka. Rabbi Yeshua says, "E epshel psichas hakever below down." By definition, psichas hakever, the opening of the womb, is going to involve bleeding. It's going to involve that blood is going to be pushed out of her body. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, you only have two possibilities. The Chachamim are saying there's three possibilities. Again, either she gave birth to a baby, and then she's a yoledes, or she gave birth to nothing, so to an empty sack, and there was blood with it, and then she's a zavag dola, or she gave birth to an empty sack, and there was no blood with it, and then she's a zavag tana. Rabbi Yeshua says there's no that third possibility doesn't exist. If there came out of sack or there came out of baby, either way she's going to be tough. Because right, just the fact that it's a kever means there's always blood. She's either yeleget or a zavag gola. Either way, she's bringing a korban, therefore it can be eaten. So therefore we see that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing on the same point that Rabbi Nachman is telling us that the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about in our Mishnah. So again, going back to our Mishnah, so if she miscarried a chunk over there, so the Chachamim are saying as long as there was no blood with it, she's tar, because Echel of Sikh is a kever b'loy dam, there's no baby here, it's just a chunk, there's no blood, because there's nothing to be metameh. Rabbi Yehuda says, ain't Sikh is a kever b'loy dam, therefore there had to have been blood with it, and we just don't notice it.
And what's the
chiddush
of the Braisa?
Anyway, the chiddush of the Braisa is telling us the machlokas of a Chachamim and Rabbi Yeshua on that subject. And the Mishnah is telling us, that in the next generation, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim also argued on it. Then we have another version of this whole discussion. In the first version, we had Shmuel's understanding of our Mishnah, and we had Rabbi Yochanan's understanding. In the second version, we're only going to have Shmuel's. So Lishna Achrina Amila, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Loitzimei Rabbi Yehuda Ela B'chaticha Shal Abba Min Adamim. Rabbi Yehuda says she's Tomei only if the chunk of flesh was one of the four colors of Damim, because then we assume it to be Dam. Abel Shoshamin Adamim Tahara, but if it was any other color, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's Tahar. And which is the same thing as Shmuel said on Amar Aleph. So that, right, there's no difference in that version. The only difference in this version is we're not bringing what Rabbi Yochanan said differently. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? Bahaki also Rabbi Hoshi min Nahadah, also Ba'aisi Masnithi Yadid. Same thing, though. We have the Braisa that Rabbi Hoshi brought from Nahadah. Hamapelas Chaticha Adumo Shchora Yeruko Levana. If she miscarries a chunk of flesh, a chunk of something, which is white, which is red or black or yellow or white, im yeshim adam, if there's blood accompanying it tmeya, then she's tomei as a nida, v'im lab tohora, and if not, then she's tar. But Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a ben kach or ben kach tmeya. Rabbi Yehuda would say, either way, she's tomei. So, katoni adrumo shchori yiruko olavana, or poly Rabbi Yehuda. So we're mentioning all four colors, two of which are colors that make her tomei as a nida, two are not, and we see Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. So how can Shmuel say that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing only on the four colors? That make her tummy. Because there's two extra colors. The chitema, so you're going to answer like we tried to on Amar Aleph. Pipolig Rabbi Yehuda adrumo shchora. Maybe indeed Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing about the red and the black. Avo yuruko levon aloi. Maybe he agrees that if it's yellow or white, it's just, and that's the question. Why is it mentioning? If he agrees that yellow or white is tahor, Ella, that's the question. Ella Yeruko Lavana Man Katani La. Then which Tana would be, according to which Tana would it be necessary for the Braisa to mention yellow, to be mentioning yellow or white? There'd be no reason to. Ilema Rabbanon, would it be necessary according to the Rabbanon? Of course not. Hashta Adumo Shchurda Kamatari Rabbanon, if they say it's Tahar, even if it was red or it was black, Yeruko Lavana Miboya, would you need to say if it was yellow or if it was white? Obviously, there's no reason to mention it according to them. Yes. Ella La, yes. El Olav Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, then the whole bright, the whole list of colors must be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Upolig, and we see that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing about all four of them.
Not like
Shmuel says. Shmuel would say that he's only arguing about black or the various shades of red. But we see from the bright that he's arguing about even completely unrelated colors.
The four and the two others.
Yeah. Right. El Omer Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda answers on the side over here. It brings a different girsa. It's supposed to be Rabbi Yochanan. So according to the first version we had in the Gemara, you had Shmuel's opinion and you had Rabbi Yochanan's opinion of understanding the machlokas in our Mishnah, and then the Gemara discussed how the Braisa could fit according to either one of them. In this second version, Shmuel explains the Mishnah. We ask on it from this Braisa, and Rabbi Yochanan gives the answer to reconcile it according to Shmuel. Rather he gives a different answer. The answer that on Omer Aleph we said in the name of Nachman, the answer that on Omar Aleph we gave in the name of Rabbi Nachman, here the Gemara is going to give us in the second version in the name of Rabbi Yechon. That's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And our Mishnah is whether Efshel Psichta Keva Bloy Dam.
That's what Rabbi Nachman said.
Which what Rabbi Nachman said on Omar Aleph, right. Over Plugta Dahani Tanoi, and therefore it's the same machlokas as the Tanoim in the previous generation. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Kish Sashnayim, if the woman had labor pains and bleeding for 2 days straight, and on the third day she miscarried the Enyadas Mahipila, she doesn't know what it was, whether it was an actual baby or whether it was just an empty sack. Hareza Sopik Leda Sopik Ziva, so it's a Sopik whether she gave birth or whether she was a Zava, for the reasons that we said before, because either you have 2 days bleeding straight and then nothing on the third, or 2 days and then more bleeding on the third, which makes her a Zava Gdola, or you have 2 days bleeding and then a birth or miscarriage, whatever, which makes her a birth or a miscarriage, as the case may be, which would make her a Yoledes but not a Zava. So she's Tomei either way, of course. Tomei via carbon, but in a Nechal. So the Tanakama again would say she brings a carbon, but we can't eat it because we have that third possibility that she might not have been a Zavag Dola. Rabbi Yeshua Imam via carbon and Nechal. And Rabbi Yeshua says she does bring a carbon and you do eat it, like we said previously. Lafishi, actually, the Kever Blagam. Because again, Rabbi Yeshua says that any time the Rechem opens, any time the Kever opens, there's always going to be Dam accompanying it.
By the way,
of course, everybody agrees to that, but he's saying there's no suffix. He's saying there's no suffix. Out of the three possibilities that you, Tanakama, are mentioning, there's really only two. There's always going to be blood. Therefore, either there was a birth and she's Tomei as a Yeledet, and she has the dinim of a Yeledet, either there was an actual baby and she's Tomei as a Yeledet, or there was no baby, but there was Sifta Kever, and that's the equivalent of there being blood. So either way, she's either Yeledet or Zavag Dola, and either way, she's bringing a korban and a candy. So far we have two opinions. Again, so far we have the Chachamim who are saying Ekshel of Sikhza Kever B'Lajam, and we have Rabbi Yehuda saying Ekshel of Sikhza Kever B'Lajam. Now let's talk about some more opinions on this subject. We learn in a bright. So the Rambam passings like the Chachamim, he holds Ekshel of Sikhza Kever B'Lajam, and most of the other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on that, and passing like Rabbi Yehuda that Ekshel, which is why we got into before about the gynecological examinations. According to the Rambam, would be a moot point. Ekshel of Sikhza Kever B'Lajam, as long as you didn't see any blood, there's no problem. But according to everybody else, no, once you have Sikhza Kever, and again, according to some Rishonim, it won't apply to an examination anyway, but according to many Rishonim, it will. So once you have, because there's an addict, so you have the question whether Ekshel of Sikhza Kever B'Lajam. If you assume that yes, then you have the question, is it only when something's coming from the inside, or is it also when something is opening it from the outside? Right. We learn in a braisa. I'm a pelas chaticha.
So what's the halacha? We don't know.
So the halacha, we are machmir like the opinions that say that ekshel of psich, that e ekshel of psich of kever b'loy dam, and that applies also to external examination. So that means there has to be blood. However, again, that only applies if the examination or whatever it is actually opened up the cervix and actually opened up and went into the womb. Without that, then there's no psich of the kever anyway. If the doctor is just inserting something into the vagina, for example, for a pap smear or what have you, there's for sure no problem. And if it doesn't dilate the cervix more than, like what Moshe says, 3/4 of an inch or so, there's also no issue.
So the pap smear that causes blood?
If it causes blood, then that's blood from an injury. That's not blood that would make the tummy, isn't it? No, well, if it's injured, that's different. But we're talking about the actual psich of the kever b'lajam means, again, just the fact of these muscles opening automatically is going to cause blood to come in. Okay, fine. If a woman miscarries a chunk of flesh, like we've been talking about, so sumchus oimim mishum Reb Meir, sumchus says in the name of Reb Meir, v'chein hoyer Reb Shimon Menachya oimim kedvarov, Reb Shimon Menachya also agrees with him that what we do is, it's not necessarily a question, we don't know yet whether she's Tomei or Tahor. What we have to do, koira, we have to cut open that chunk. In yesh dam b'sarcha, if there is blood inside the chunk, tmeya, then we say she's Tomei, because then it's considered to be blood that came from her, that came from her uterus. We don't care about the fact that it was inside, that it was inside flesh. V'im lav Tahor, and if there's no blood in it, then she's Tahor.
But no matter if it's in the bag
or out of the bag? No, apparently it wouldn't matter. So therefore, the Gemara points out, kerabonon va'adifa midrabon. It means that, basically then, Reb Meir, Sumchus, or whatever, is holding like the Rabbanon of our Mishnah, but he's machmer over them in one way. Kerabonon, he basically holds like the Rabbanon, damri epshel of sikhza kever b'lajam. They say it is possible for the kever to open without blood, so not necessarily just the fact that this chunk came out automatically makes it tight. I said already a few times, 3/4 of an inch. 3/4 of an inch. That's the amount.
So they're saying that sikhza
has to be 3/4 of an inch. If it was open less than that, we don't have to assume that blood came out. If we see blood coming out, that's what it is. The Rabbanon hold Ekshel of Sikhza Kever B'Lajam. So Sumchus holds the same way, because he's saying just because there was a trunk doesn't automatically metame. But one second, that's Va'adzifa mid Rabbanon. On the other hand, he is Machmu in one aspect over the Rabbanon, the Inhu Savri Ima Ein B'Soicheloi, they would hold she's Tomei only if the blood is on the outside of the Chaticha, along with it basically, but not if it's inside it. The sumchos sover after the besocha, where sumchos would hold, even if it's inside the chunk, it's enough to be metame. The flesh and under the flesh of the chunk. They would say no, but it, effectively what Sumchus is saying, Rashi explains later on, is that we consider that they're the fact that they're the fact that the blood is inside, okay, but min b'mina ein chosit, the blood and the flesh are considered to be the same min, so therefore it's not a chafitza, it's as if the blood actually touched her uterus and the walls and her vaginal walls according to Sumchus. So therefore he doesn't care that the blood is inside a chunk of flesh, whereas a chamin do. Okay. So that's opinion number three. So far we have three opinions. Okay. Again, this is within the opinion that If we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that then it's a moot point. Either way, the fact that there was a chasicha came out automatically makes it tell me whether there's blood or not. Okay. Then we learn another braisa. If he miscarries a chunk, Rav Acha oim a koder. Rav Acha again says you have to cut it open, tear it open, whatever. In toicha madim, if the inside of this chunk appears red, tmeya, then she's tamei. Ve'im lav tahora, and if not, then she's tahora. Which means kesumchus va'adifa misumchus. Which means basically he holds like sumchus that it doesn't matter if the blood is inside the chunk, it can still be metameher. But he goes beyond sumchus because sumchus would hold only if there's actual blood there. And Rav Acha is saying even if it's only just red, right? Tosfos points out that according to him, if it was red on the outside, then for sure it would be tamei. If he considers it to be blood, even if he considers a red tinge on the inside to be blood, even though you don't see any actual liquid blood, then how much more so if you had a red tinge on the outside, right? Okay. The Tanya Idach, then we have, so far we have four opinions. Now comes another opinion, the Tanya Idach, Hamapelas Chatecha, Rabbi Yamin Oima Koira. Again, Rabbi Yamin says you cut it open, and it doesn't matter whether it has blood. Yeah. They're all within the opinion of the Tanakhama that Epshel Psech Sekeva Bledagma. Im Yesh Ba Esim, Rabbi Yamin says you don't care whether there's blood in it. If there's a bone inside this chunk, then Imoy Tmeya Leda, then his mother is Tomei from having given birth, because that is already considered a baby. So he's not saying about blood, but just a minute.
What a mess.
No. Just the fact that there's blood in it is enough to make it Tomei Leda.
According to
Rabbi Yamin, yeah.
One second.
Rav Chista says specifically that would be if the chunk is white. Now, when we say white, we don't mean white like the color of paper or whatever. We mean flesh color, right? No, we mean the color of flesh. If it's the color of flesh, then unless it has a bone in it, you can't consider that. It should be metame, says Rabbi Yamin. So if it's white and there's a bone in it, then it's metame. If it's not white, apparently, if it's some other color and there's a bone in it, then it wouldn't be metame. Because then it's not a baby. Yeah. Okay. Almer of Yechanan Meshuv, V'chein ki also Zuga d'min Chadiev. Similarly, also when Zuga came from Chadiev. Now, what does Zuga mean? Rashi explains that Zuga is like the word Zug. We usually have the pair of Tamar Chachamim. Two Tamar Chachamim came from Chadiev. Chadiev is an ancient kingdom. We learned about it briefly in the previous parak, about Munbaz and his family, about the good things that they did. They were the kings of it. Nowadays, it's in northern Iraq. Anyway, so when these two Tamar Chachamim came from Chadiev, also the Isimas Nisa B'Yodeh, they came and brought a Braisa along with them. And by the way, now that's according to the Girsa Zuga. The problem with that is, some of the Mephoshim explain, then why is the Loshen in the singular? Zuga is a pair of Tamar Chachamim, should be saying in the plural. They brought the Braisa with them. Tosfos instead brings a different Girsa, not Zuga, but Zuza. In which case, that was his name. A Tamar Chacham named Zuza came from Chadiev and brought along a Braisa with him. Anyway, what does the Braisa say? Same thing as Rabbi Yamin said. Hamapelas chaticha levana, if she miscarries a white, meaning flesh-colored chunk, koda, you tear it open, im yesh bo etzim, if there is a bone in it, imoy tmeya later, then his mother is tamei from giving birth. Okay, so that's another opinion. Amr Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Yechoi, and now we have the last opinion on this subject. Rav Yochanan says in the name of Rav Shimon Yechoi, hamapelas chaticha, a woman miscarries a chunk, koda, again, we tear it open, and we have to see, it's not a question, im yesh ba dam ogur tmeya. If there was a collection of blood in it, then she's tamei. The im lav ogur means collected.
Not agur.
No, ogur means collected, means a collection. The lashon ogur. or you go back hayats, for example, you have a loshana pasuk. I mean, somebody who collects, who harvests in the summer, which is the appropriate time period.
Okay.
So if he, so if there's a collection of blood, if there's a pool of blood in there, tmeya being laughed to her, which means kesumchus. Basically, again, he holds like sumchus that blood inside the trunk is able to be metame her, but the kilo mikulhu, but Reb Shimon's opinion is more lenient than all of them, because according to Rav Acha, even just a red color is enough to be metame. According to Sumchus, you need to have a red color is not enough, but as long as you have blood in there, meaning, in other words, you have veins and arteries or whatever in there, and you have blood in them, you have blood, you know, dispersed throughout the flesh of this thing. According to Rav Shimon, it would have to be pooled in one place in order to be metame.
But it's just etzem.
If there's an so so
it's a means that there was it's a child. It means there was
right. So that and actually right. So that makes her tomei from a lady. All these ones we're talking about, the question is whether she's gonna be tomei nida. Actually Tosfos points out, in that case, then this one of Rabbi Yamin about the bone seems to be out of order. We should first finish with all the ones that depend on whether there's blood in it or not, whether she's nidya or not. Tosfos explains that the Gemara wanted to quote all the ones that come from Braisas first. This last one, yes, Rabbi Yochanan is saying in the name of Rishim Ben Yechayu, the Tana, but it's not in a Braisa after all. It was by heart until Rabbi Yochanan quoted it to us. So therefore, the Gemara sticks it in line. So fine. So leaving aside the case with the bone, where with a bone she's tummy later, we have five opinions on the subject. We have the Tanakh, we have the Chachamim of our Mishnah, who say that if there's blood with it, meaning on the outside of it, then she's tummy. If not, then she's tar. We don't care how much blood there is inside the trunk. We have the opposite extreme, Rabbi Yehuda would say it doesn't really matter. E actually psichas a kever below dam anyway, so therefore whether there's blood or not, either way she's tummy on the ground of psichas a kever. And then within the opinion of the Chachamim, we have these three other opinions, what the situation is with the blood. Does it, the Chachamim have said the blood has to be on the outside to be metame her? We have Sumchus saying it can be on the inside, but it, and even if it's scattered throughout the flesh. We had Rav Acha is more machmur than that and says even if there's only a red color, and Rav Shimon Yochai is mekel more than Sumchus and says only if there's ogre, only if there's a pool of it, only if there's a pool of it in one place. Right. Okay. Bominin and Abzera. Okay. Now Rav Yirmiyah asks Rav Zera the following question. Taroya dam b'shrech feres mahu. What if the woman sees, like this, now the reason why this is coming up over here is because we just mentioned that according to a number of the Tanoim, if blood comes out of her, but it's not in direct contact with her vaginal walls, it's inside a trunk of flesh, according to Sumchus, and according to Rav Shimon, and according to Rav Acha, it would make her tome anyway. So the question. We just said, if you have a chunk of flesh and somewhere inside it there's blood, then according to these three tanoim, in varying degrees, it'll be enough to make her tummy. So now a related question, which will bring us back to that. What if she sees blood in a tube, meaning she stuck a tube in, and then, and then she found blood inside the tube. So what would be the din? The Torah says only if she sees blood, only if the blood flows bivsara in her flesh, meaning therefore that excludes the case where it's in a tube. Or maybe instead we need the word bivsara not to teach us that if it was inside a tube, it wouldn't make her tummy, but just to teach us a different din. Like this, when it comes to a man, we're going to talk about on Chavez, that with a man's tumma of Shiklas Zera or Ziva or whatever, it only makes him tummy when it comes out of his body. While it's still inside his body, it's not yet the tummy him. But with a woman, it's not like that. When the dam nida, as we learned in the first paragraph, once the dam nida comes out of her uterus, then immediately she's tummy. So we learn that from the word vipsara. So maybe, therefore, so Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking, is it that the word vipsara teaches only that din, that as soon as it starts coming, even while it's still within vipsara, within her vagina, but outside, dum yezaiva vipsara is the expression. So dum yezaiva vipsara, the blood will flow in vipsara. So does that mean only that it's teaching us while it's in vipsara, it's already metame, so therefore it's not teaching us any miyot about if she used a tube, or is it also telling us that it has to be in her flesh, that in other words, it has to be touching her, the blood has to actually be touching her vaginal wall to make her tame, and not if it's coming out through a tube.
Sara means in her womb.
But obviously while the blood is in her womb, it's not metame, right? So only once it starts coming out. So that's the question. What is the word Bivsara teaching us? Is it teaching us the din that as soon as it exits her womb, she's immediately tame, as we learned in the first parak?
Yeah.
Or is it additionally teaching us that to be metame, her, when it comes out of the womb, it has to be coming out into Bivsara, into her flesh, into her vagina, into her cervix and vagina and whatever, rather than into a tube? So what is it? It means outside of the kever, obviously, because while it's inside the kever, obviously, right. So that's the question.
Inside
the womb, when the blood is inside the womb, of course not. Otherwise, a woman, otherwise, after a woman ever be tara. Right? Okay.
Interesting.
The word bisara means her flesh. Actually, in some places, in some places, sometimes the pasuk uses basar as a term for the genitals. The Rambam actually has a famous statement that Lashon Kodesh is so called, he says, why is it called Lashon Kodesh, the language of holiness? The Rambam has an explanation about it, I think, in Moreh Nevuchim. He says the reason is because unlike most languages, Lashon Kodesh doesn't have words for the indelicate things in life, including, for example, for the genitals. And this would be an example of it, that when the Torah needs to talk about the genitals, in Halacha, it uses the word basa. Yeah. So that could, right. Basa more generally refers to flesh, sure. It refers to any muscle, but specifically also the Torah uses it. Yes.
So it can mean vagina, it can mean uterus.
So it can mean whatever it needs to mean.
Okay,
anyway. So the answer, okay. Omerle, so Reb Zera answers him. Your first possibility is right. Vivsara Amarachmana Velovishweferis. Actually, yes, the word Vivsara does mean not if it's in a tube. The Ibivsara, because if the Ibivsara Mboilashamatamabus, if the word Vivsara only meant the second din, that she becomes Tomei as soon as the blood comes out of her uterus, in that case, in Cain, name a cross, the Bosser, then the Pasuk didn't need to say Bivsara, it could have just said Bivosser in the flesh. Obviously, it's her flesh. My bibsara, what is it saying? Her flesh. Shema minatauti. Therefore, from the one word, you can learn two different games. Number one, that's matame as soon as it exits her womb and is in her flesh, meaning in her cervix, in her vagina, whatever. And number two, that it has to be that it comes out of there into her flesh, into her cervix, and not into her tomb. Okay, so the question is, what about the din that we just said in the name of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, that if the woman miscarries a chunk of flesh, kodo, we tear it open, im yesh badam ogur tmeya, only if there's a pool of blood in it that she tame, v'im lav tahara, and if not, then she's tahara. That's the point. In other words, it's life. No, one second, that's the question. It's life or shweferes. If it should be no different than a shweferes. If you're telling me that she's tahor, if she sticks a shweferes in and the blood comes out into the shweferes, then the same thing should apply if she miscarried a chunk, and inside, somewhere inside that chunk, there's a pool of blood, but it didn't touch her vaginal wall, so why should it be metameh? That's the reason why we're bringing it over here. The answer is, hochi hashta. How do you think to compare those two cases? Hosam, in that case, darka shel isha, it is dam b'chaticha. It's normal that if a woman miscarries a chunk, then there's going to be blood in it. Therefore, it can still be called bivsara, because as Rashi says, min b'minei lechoisis. It's called min b'minei. The flesh itself came from her. The blood also came from her. So it can be considered all the same min, so it's still considered that it touched her directly. Hacha, but over here, with your case of the tube, ein da'at shel isha, there's dam b'shreferes. It's not normal that a woman should see blood through a shreferes. That's not the normal way of bringing about dam nida or tube, whatever. So therefore, it's not min b'mina, and therefore you should say that, we can say that she's not tummy. Okay. The Gemara says, lema shreferes tanoim. Okay, should we actually have to say that this situation where she's stuck in a tube and then the blood came out into the tube, would we have to... That's exactly what we're saying. That's the point. The point is the pasuk had said bivsara, that it has to come out into her flesh.
Yeah.
No, that's the point. The chunk can be considered her flesh. That's exactly the point. The chunk is considered her flesh. The shreferet is not. That's the point. Da'ukta shal isha versus ein da'ukta shal isha means, in other words, the chaticha is considered part of bisara. The shreferet is not. Right. Okay. So the Gemara says, lema shreferet.
Shreferet is not basara.
Well, that's true, but that's right. Right. But the chunk is not on the face of it, it's not bisara either. But it is because of...
But
we don't care whether it's basara. The pasuk says bisara. But the fact is, min b'minayin echaitet, as Rashi says. Okay. Would we have to say, actually, that this issue about Shreferes is actually a machloikas tanoim? Tanya, we learn in a brisa, Hamapelas Chaticha, if a woman miscarries this trunk, even if it's full of blood, Im Yesh Im Adam Tmeya, Vim Lav Tahora, if there is blood with it, she's Tome, and if not, then she's Tore, which is the opinion of the Tanakama in our Mishnah. Because again, the Tanakama, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, had said, and he had said, not like the various Tanoim, not like Sumchos and Rav Acha and Rav Shimon, that we worry about what's inside the trunk. We don't care what's inside the trunk, we only care what's outside of it. And the Braisa continues, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bivsara, when Rabbi Eliezer says, when the Pasuk says that she sees blood, Bivsara, in her flesh, means Veloiv Shfir, not if there's blood inside a Shfir, which is a Shfir, no, a Shfir is not a Shfiris, but although it's related, the word is related, but it means basically, Rashi explains, it's like the outer layer of a baby before the inner layer is before the muscles and the nerves and whatever are formed. Yeah, basically it's sort of like an empty skin. It has the basic form of a baby. You have, you know, you look at embryology or whatever, you have a certain point in the development of an embryo when you have it. There's a couple of layers over there, the mesoderm and the ectoderm, I forget what they're called exactly, whatever, and eventually they start developing into a baby. So right. At that point of development, it's called a sphere. It's related to the word sphere, because it's sort of tube-like or whatever. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Okay, so Rabbi Eliezer says, if there's blood inside a sphere, then that's not metameher, v'loy b'chaticha, and also not if it's inside a trunk. So the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, Haino Tanakama. First of all, we have to figure out, isn't Rabbi Eliezer saying the same thing as the Tanakama? The Tanakama is saying we don't care what's inside the trunk. And Rabbi Eliezer is mentioning that if there's blood inside a trunk, she saw her. So what's the difference? And the answer is, Ema, you're right. It is actually all Rabbi Eliezer is saying this braisa. Sher, Rabbi Eliezer, Ema b'fsara v'lay b'shfir v'lay b'chaticha. Because Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the word b'fsara excludes these cases. In other words, first the braisa tells us the din, and then it tells us the reason why Rabbi Eliezer would say so. Then the Braisa comes in, so that's one opinion. The Chachamim say, this is not considered blood of Nida, this is considered blood inside a trunk. So the question is, okay, but what are the Chachamim adding to what Rabbi Eliezer is saying? Rabbi Eliezer is saying it's Tahor, because it's inside the trunk, and the Chachamim seem to be saying the same thing. Ella, we have to say, therefore, the machloikas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim must be, suppose that this trunk is not smooth on the outside. Pali means that it has sections, or it has like grooves. It has wrinkles or grooves or whatever on the outside of it. Right. So it's not smooth on the outside. And you have blood inside those wrinkles. So Tanakama Savur b'Sara v'Lei b'Shvir v'Lei b'Chaticha v'Hu Adin l'Shvifere. So Tanakama would say that the Tanakama, namely Rabbi Eliezer, would be saying that when it says b'Sara, and we said that means not if the blood is inside a shvir and not if it's inside a trunk, v'Hu Adin l'Shvifere. He would say the same thing also if blood is inside a shvifere, inside a tube, the same thing would apply. It's not matamehur. V'Hani Mili Heicha d'Shia, and he would say all of that only applies if the trunk is smooth, and therefore the blood in it did not shim and smooth, and therefore the blood in it did not touch her, if the blood inside it, therefore, did not touch her vaginal walls at all. Ava pali palui, but if it's wrinkled, and there's blood in the wrinkles, tmeya, then she'd be tummy. My time of Ipsara turning away, because that would still be called Ipsara. Also, Rabbanan Lamema, and then the Rabbanan would be coming and saying, no, Ava got the pali palui, even if it's got wrinkles, even if there's blood inside the wrinkles, as long as the wrinkles are deep enough that the blood in them is not going to be touching her inside, then they would say, Ein zadam nida el adam chaticha. It's only blood from a chaticha. Ha dam nida, implying they would say, were it to be considered dam nida, vadei tome, then indeed it would be tome, vaskilu b'shriferes. And therefore they would say, even if there was a shriferes, we would still consider it to be dam nida. So therefore, in other words, the Rabbanan, in other words, Rashi explains, are not using the word divsara to make the same diuk as Rabbi Eliezer is. So they're saying that it's not a question of divsara or not. They say it's strictly a difference of whether it's dam nida or not. As long as we can say it's not dam nida, then fine, she's tar. But if it's dam nida, then she's tar. And if it's a shreferet, it's dam nida. So if you understand it that way, it comes out that Rabbi Eliezer, then it's dam nida, because it is normal dam nida. It just came out through a tube. So therefore, if we understand it that way, it comes out that Rabbi Eliezer holds like what Rabbi Zera answered Rabbi Yirmiyah, that in a shreferes is not matame, and the Chachamim would be disagreeing.
They would say
it is. Okay, so we'll continue. Because they don't douch in the pasuk in the same way as Rabbi Eliezer does. Right.
What are they? How do they dash
in? They would understand that Bifsara doesn't necessarily mean to exclude where it didn't touch her bosa. They would understand that there's a difference whether when it's dam nida, they would use the word bifsara, like we said before, only to teach us metam b'fnim kabachot, that she's tame as soon as the blood comes out of her uterus, even while it's still inside her body. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow with analyzing that point.